So if you have your Bible, would you turn, please, with me to the book of James in the New Testament? It's over toward the end of your Bible. If you go from the back and start at Revelation, you'll see a few small letters there from John and a couple letters from the Apostle Peter, and then James. It's right between Hebrews and Peter. And read this, really want to center in on one verse of Scripture, particularly here this morning during the time of the message. And I wanted to make this announcement so that if people are not here in the sanctuary or those who might just get a CD or listen to it on the website can hear. After the men's breakfast yesterday, I had a message to call someone and someone here in the church. And I found out that one of the ladies here in the church lost her son yesterday. He was in the hospital and he passed away yesterday morning. And it's not just the lady. One of her daughters attends here too. So it's Nancy. Many of you recognize the name Nancy. Her son passed, Jamie, yesterday. And, you know, Karen and Gary. Karen is a sister there. So Karen lost her brother. And on top of the loss, and in fact, just over the years, you know, Nancy had, I believe, seven sons and daughters, and this is the third son she's lost over the years. So our heart's certainly heavy for her and for them. And on top of this, that, you know, they're all sick. On top of that, sick in their bodies. And so I wanted to just take a moment before we actually read these verses here today and just ask, would you join me in prayer, please? We just unite our hearts together. And lift them up to the throne of grace now in their time of need, all right? Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank God we don't have to go through this life alone. And Lord, our hearts are heavy. They go out for a mom who's lost another son, Lord, and a sister lost a brother, and Lord, family members, all of them. But Lord, our hearts as a church family go out too, and we just want to lift them up to you. And lift them up to your throne of grace. You are a God of all comfort. And you can comfort in ways that no human can comprehend. I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit is just going to rise up even within them now as they know you. I thank you, Lord, that we have hope today still. We have a living hope because Jesus conquered death. And I pray that hope would rise up in them and let them know this is not the end. Yes, the tears are going to last for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning, in resurrection morning. And you said when we gather together with you, we'll be forever with you and comfort one another with these words. So we pray that you administer comforting grace and healing, and Lord, even in their sense of mourning. And I pray for a divine touch, a supernatural touch on their physical bodies right now as well, that you would heal them in the name of Jesus, Lord. We take authority over just sickness and disease and ask that it would spread no further in that family. And Lord, let them be able to come together in a way that comforts one another, glorifies you, and even Jamie's life could be remembered and the gospel could go forth that others might come to know you as well. And Lord, we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just continue to lift up the family, you know, to the Lord, certainly in these days and weeks set to come. And any arrangements, you know, I'll pass them on to you if you receive the emails and we'll get those to you, all right? James chapter 1, before I read these verses, how many of you are familiar with Joyce Meyer? Would you pretty much, I know she's very well known, maybe not even, even someone who might not be a Christian just could be familiar with her. She is a popular speaker, author, and so forth around. She was abused by her father for years in her life. And, you know, sometimes in that rough home setting, you're looking to get out. You know, she was wanting to get out. And so she left home and married at an early age. That marriage ended in divorce. But God has certainly healed her and used her. God is using her now to reach many people around the world, in nations all around the world. And she discovered the power of the Word of God. And God, from the beginning, he laid the foundation of the power of his word. God spoke and creation came into existence, invisible and visible. And the Bible says this in James chapter 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Verse 21, therefore, lay aside all filthiness. That's speaking of moral type, you know, type of moral filthiness. And overflow of wickedness. Overflow of wickedness. Some translations say to rid yourself or lay aside or basically get rid of all the evil that's prevalent in the world today. The evil that's prevalent all around us. We've got to avoid that. Let's just keep away from that. Keep ourselves free. And he says in that verse again, 21, receive with meekness or humility the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness. In other words, lay aside anything of pride, anything that would hinder us from humbly receiving the word of God being implanted into our soul, because it is able to save us. And then it goes on in verse 22. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Joyce Meyer discovered what I would say is that the word of God is powerful, it's personal, and it's practical. The word of God is powerful, it's personal. It's a word for me. It's a word for you today. It's a word for us. And it's practical. It's practical truth to live out. It's not just kind of, you know, pie in the sky, spiritual stuff. It's powerful, it's personal, and it's practical. And here's the message this morning. It's basically built off of those words in James 1:21. The word is able. The word is able. Would you say that with me? The word is able. In other words, the word of God has the ability. It has the power to do what God intends for it to accomplish. And I want to share three abilities of God's word with you this morning, if you want to write them down. And I'll give you a verse, you know, scripture for each one, and we'll talk about it a little bit. But I want to just give it to you all up front, all three of them, okay? So the word is able to save me, heal me, and strengthen me. The word is able to save me, heal me, and strengthen me. Save me, heal me, and strengthen me. The word is able. The word is able. Let's look at that first one. In fact, well, let's go ahead and read this. James chapter 1, verse 18. We'll back up just one verse from where we started. James 1:18 says this, of his own will, speaking of God, of God's own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The penalty for sin is what? The wages of sin is what?
Death.
That is both physical death, which we're all familiar with, but it's also spiritual death. Death is separation. James says that as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So physical death is separation of the spirit from the body. Spiritual death is separation of our relationship with God. And that is not only for time, it's for all eternity. We would be forever lost because we've all sinned. But thank God, though he is holy, he is also love. And in his love and mercy, he gave his son, Jesus, who came to this earth to live a sinless life and show us how to live God's way. He taught us God's way and willingly laid his life down. No one took it from him. He willingly laid his life down on the cross to suffer and die to pay for our sins. Jesus bore our judgment so that we would not have to. And 3 days later, he conquered death. He arose from the grave. And now he has returned and ascended, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father on high. And when God's Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and draws us to the truth that Jesus really is Lord, and we receive him as Lord, we are forgiven of all sin. We are given a brand new beginning. We are declared righteous by God, and we are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. But see, we would never know that truth if we did not have the Word of God to reveal our lost condition to us. So it not only reveals our lost condition, the gospel message is able to save us. It is able to save. It's the truth of God's word and the power of God's spirit. It's like basically fertilizing that egg and spiritual life is birthed. And then we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, but we cannot get saved without the truth of the gospel. That's why it's so important. And I wonder if even Satan, I'm sure he had an idea, because from day one when he tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the first thing he said was, did God really say? And he tried to implant doubt in God, about God's word. And he's still doing that same trick today. He's trying to make us, we don't need, you know, it's written by men, it's not relevant for today. No, it is powerful. The word is able. And, you know, I know sometimes, you know, if somebody won't, you know, attacks the scripture, they'll bash it and say whatever about it. I get it. And I get the natural tendency. There's a place to defend our faith. But I wonder if sometimes we'd be better off if I had a lion. All right. Well, let me use a tiger. I wanted to train tigers. I wanted to join the circus and train tigers. But let's say that tiger was okay around me. But you came around and you mouthed off about my tiger. I don't have to try to defend the tiger. I can let the tiger loose. The word is able. Again, there's a place to defend our faith, take our stand for Christianity, but why don't we just speak the word and let the word do the work? The word is powerful. It's living and powerful. If we give the word, they can argue, they can deny, they might refuse to believe, but if we give the word, and they're at least hearing it, that's what's going to change. The power of God is available in the word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the word is able to save me. And let me just remind you, if you were here for a few weeks before Easter, we're sharing this series about the virtues of God's word. When I say the word of God, we're talking about both the Son, Jesus, and the scripture, the Bible. So anytime when we say the word is able, I'm saying Jesus is able. I'm saying the scripture that God has granted us, the written, inspired word of God is able to save me. Anyone testify has been saved. The word is able. Not only is it able to save me, it's able to heal me. Let's look at that scripture again, James chapter 1, verse 19. The word is able to save me, heal me, strengthen me. The word is able to save me, heal me, strengthen me. That word save means to rescue or deliver. Let me read it to you again, verse 21. Therefore, James 1:21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Let's get rid of anything, keep ourselves free from anything that would hinder us in receiving humbly the implanted word which is able to save your soul. That word soul is psyche in the Greek. It means life, heart, mind, and soul. So it includes the soul. But when it says the word is able to rescue your soul, the word is able to rescue your life, to heal your life, to free your life, to free your mind, to free your heart, the word is able. If you want to write these scripture references down, you can stay there if you like in James. Let me give you two out of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. The Bible says this in verse 36. Luke 8:36. It says, they also who had seen, they had witnessed something here, and it says, who had seen it, told them by what means, notice, he who had been demon-possessed was healed. See the word healed? It's the same word translated save in James 1:21. The word is able to heal. Now, in this case, the word healed applies to a man who was just filled with demon spirits, and he was he dwelt in the tombs and he was cutting himself. And he had such a supernatural strength about him that if they tried to restrain him, he would break the restraints, not just him physically, it was the demons that were in him. And Jesus delivered that man, and the Bible says he was healed. But it's the same word that the word is able to save. And then one more there in Luke chapter 8. The Bible says in verse 48, Luke 8:48, the Bible says this, that same chapter, and goes on down. He's speaking about a woman who had a physical condition for 12 years. She was hemorrhaging for 12 years. She had spent all of her money on doctors. Nothing wrong with doctors. I know a couple good ones, all right? Thank God for them. I got one right here. And thank God for them. Thank God for the technology. But there are some conditions that human resources cannot handle and cannot heal. And the Bible says here in verse 48 that this woman, when she realized that Jesus was coming, she said, if I can just get to him, if I can just get to the word, if I can, as she had to press through the crowd, she had to get through, I mean, all of this, she was considered unclean. She wasn't really supposed to be touching people. So she was pressing her way through the crowd. It was so many people, when Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? The disciples were like, everybody. Everybody was touching him. And the Bible says, no, I felt virtue go out of me. And she kept telling herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, because it was prophesied the Son of Man, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in the borders of his garment. If I can just touch. And when she touched him, she felt her bleeding stop on the inside. Jesus stopped, said, who touched me? And she was scared. She fell down trembling. And she confessed and told it. And this is what Jesus says in Luke 8, 48. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you, same word, saved, well, whole, healed. Go in peace. I love it. The word has the power. The word is able to not only save me and rescue me from the consequences and penalty of sin, the word has an ongoing power to heal me in areas where I need to be healed and made whole and made well in my life, in my mind, in my heart, my soul. Because we can be forgiven. We can come to the cross. We can embrace Jesus as Lord, and we're forgiven of all our sins. We have a brand new beginning. But how many of you, if you know the Lord, you know you can be forgiven, but you still may need some healing in your heart, healing in your mind, healing from past situations, past circumstances, past whatever it may be. And healing is available, but it's found in the Son and in the Scripture. And he says, lay aside anything and everything that would hinder you and humbly receive that word that has able to save your soul. It's able to save your psyche, your mind, your heart, your life. He says this. In fact, I want to go back and read one more part of this testimony from Joyce Meyer, because I was prepared to share this morning. And typically, I don't even watch her on Sunday morning. There's nothing against her at all. I'm usually just doing something. I come down here earlier and so forth. I try to catch maybe Tony Evans or Jensen Franklin. I try to catch different ones, at least a few minutes of them on Sunday morning. But this morning, for some reason, unless it was the Lord, I turned over and Joyce Meyer was sharing how she was, again, referring back to her childhood growing up and, you know, what her dad, she didn't go into all the details, but, you know, what happened there growing up. But she said, my dad had a certain personality type. And even though God has healed her and used her greatly, she said, I still sometimes battle when I come in contact with another person that has his personality. It reminds me of him, and it rekindles and births some of those same old things. And I have the emotions, and I can have the memories, but I have to choose by faith to say, I'm not going to let that hinder me, and keep feeding and keep getting that word in here and experiencing that healing and living out of her healing rather than out of her hurt. So we're human. That's why she says, sometimes, yes, fear may come, but do it afraid. And yes, I experience the emotions. The issue is we don't have to be dominated by them. And I don't know what area, we all have potential areas where we need to be made whole and well and more like Christ. And the word is able. But sometimes those areas will reveal themselves in relational conflict. Just think, maybe back to a recent conflict, or maybe you're involved in something right now. Sometimes this conflict comes about because of something that surfaces within us, maybe within someone else, how we handle the conflict. And it can just be a reminder. I'm not trying to condemn any of us. I'm simply saying, let's use it to bring us to the Lord and say, I need to receive healing in this area, Lord. You are able, and I want to ask you to touch me and heal me. Bring me into wholeness. Give me a verse. Give me a promise, a scripture that'll be like a healing salve in that hurt in my heart. and comfort in my mind. This was her testimony. She wrapped it up by saying this: you can recover from your past pain, from things that have been done to you, or from mistakes that you have made. But the recovery will require an investment of time on your part. You can, please hear this, you can either continue to invest in your misery, or you can begin to invest in your healing. One of the ways you can deal with the past is by confessing God's promises instead of talking about negative, defeated feelings. We can be honest, brothers and sisters. We can acknowledge, I'm hurting right now. I'm mad right now. I'm confused right now. Whatever it may be, that's fine. We're human. But as you said, Brother Mark, don't park there. let's not finish with that. That's the quicksand. Let's say, yes, I'm hurting, but God said, yes, they did me wrong, but the promise of God is. So she goes on and says, when you confess God's promises instead of your problems, you're exercising your faith and investing in your healing. Brothers and sisters, I would just add, it's not only an investment of time, it requires an investment of effort on our part. It's not just time, it's effort. We have to put forth some effort. I mean, there are times, it's like planting and watering. But if we want the harvest, we've got to do our part to get to the increase. God gives the increase, but we've got to give him something to increase. Right now, I need to cut our grass. We had put aerated seed a couple weeks ago. He said, wait a couple weeks, and now we've had the rain and everything. I'm telling you, the grass has shot up. But I've also got some weeds out there. And it's amazing. I'm not kidding you. A weed, some kind of little mess, can grow in like an eighth of an inch of dirt. And then it wants to spread. And you got to really cultivate to get the good seed to grow. And isn't that the way it is spiritually? I mean, all the weeds, spiritual weeds, come up overnight. And they're hard to get rid of. And they will spread if we allow them. It takes effort to plant the good seed. We got to receive with humility, with meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save our soul, and keep receiving it, and keep receiving it, and keep watering it until God gives the increase and the harvest comes. Healing isn't always a quick fix. Sometimes we've been through some things, and it's going to take a little bit. We need that wellness, the wholeness of Christ, and as a testimony to the Lord, it's not, hey, I've arrived now. No, it's all about God and his glory and his grace. The word is able. Would you say it with me? The word is able, but we got to get it in us. I take a little multivitamin every day. And just think, if I were to take that, I took a vitamin yesterday, all right? We had breakfast, I took my vitamin afterward. Let's say that was the first vitamin I took, and then today I get up, and I don't feel any different. I said, man, these things are a waste of time. They didn't do any good. I'm a thorn, and I toss those vitamins. No good. The potential was there, but I didn't give it a chance. And sometimes we can start off, man, I read that scripture today. I meditate every time I ate. I took a moment. I took 30 seconds, and I reminded myself. I quoted that scripture. I read over my little card. I had it in my notes on my phone, and I confessed that word, and I prayed that word, and I got that word in me. I did it all day, and then tomorrow something happens. And we end up quitting. And we short-circuit the harvest, and we don't give a chance to heal us. To free us. And so we got to do it on the days we feel like it, and when we don't feel like it, and when we're up and when we're down, and where we're happy and when we're sad and we're confused. And if we want the harvest, we've got the word is able. We got to get it in us. The word is able to save me, heal me, and strengthen me. Let's keep believing the word of God. Let's keep receiving the word. Let's keep confessing it. Let's keep praying it. Let's keep singing it. And ultimately, as James 1:22 says, let's keep doing the word. And it brings us into that place of wholeness in Christ. And then one more. If you turn back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. The word is able to save me, heal me, strengthen me. Would you say that with me? The word is able to save me, heal me, strengthen me. Save me, heal me, strengthen me. We'll close with this scripture here. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And just to give you a little background, this man, Paul, he's an apostle. He's meeting with the church leaders there in that particular city, and they're meeting on the seashore. And he's getting ready to leave, and he knows in this life he'll never see them again. And he told them, this is it. And they were sad, but he said, I want you to be careful. He said, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I didn't give you just one verse. I've given you the whole counsel of God. All scripture is inspired. He said, I've warned you for 3 days, night and day with tears. There are going to be savage wolves that are going to come in and not spare the people of God. And not only that, there are going to be people from among you, even from within your church, there will be those who will eventually rise up, and they're going to seek to draw disciples after themselves instead of make disciples after Jesus. So he gives them this word of counsel, Acts chapter 20 in verse 32. He says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace. The word of his grace. Here we go again. Which is able. The word is able. It has the ability. It has the power. Which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified or set apart for God. The word is able to build us up. The psalmist said, strengthen me according to your word. I really believe that one of our adversary's greatest tactics is discouragement. Because if he can get us discouraged, isn't it so easy just to throw in the towel? I'm not saying we quit believing in God or that we're not a Christian any longer. I'm simply saying we can put ourselves on a shelf, so to speak, and not be fully effective and not be the people of God that he ordained for us to be. Just because we're discouraged and we get down, I get it. Can we all relate? How many of us have ever been discouraged? I mean, my goodness. But that's where we need the Word of God to build up our faith in God. We need the Word of God to strengthen our faith. We need that strength that the Word of God gives. It's like eating. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Just like our bodies need the physical strength from good nutrition, our spirits and souls need the strength from God's holy word to give us strength. We need that strength. If we find we're lacking and we're feeling just spiritually anemic, let me ask you this, what have you been eating? Have you been feeding your faith? Have you been getting that scripture in you and meditating on it? And I know it's easy. We live in a world, I put an article back here on the table, Dr. Michael Brown, he talked about what he believed is one of the greatest, I forgot what he called it, no. Actually, I got it right here. The devil's latest tactics to keep us from the Bible. You want to read it and find out what it is, or you want me to tell you? He actually related to something earlier in the country. That's how it starts. But I think, and of course we could say multiple things, but I think he makes a good case for this one. Distractions. We got our entertainment. Nothing wrong with entertainment. We have our sports. Nothing wrong with sports. We have our social media. Nothing wrong with social media. We have all of the different activities and everything. And those things are all fine in themselves. They can have their place. But if we allow them to rob us of time and investment with the Lord and his word and fellowship with him, we've made an idol out of something that could have been used good, in a good way. So this morning, I'll just close with this. Let's take a moment and just examine our hearts. The word is able. So think about this, please. First of all, I would like to ask, do you know the Lord? Do you know him? Not do you know about him. Not do you go to church every once in a while. Do you actually know Jesus as Lord? Is God your Father? Not just you know some things about him. Do you know him? You have a daily walk with him. And then if you do, is there an area in your life that maybe even the Holy Spirit is guiding you right now? I can tell you this. If it's God's Spirit doing it, it will be very specific and it will be in love. It will not be a general, you're so good for nothing, why don't you do God a favor and leave? That's satanic condemnation. But the Holy Spirit will be very specific. The reason you're having ongoing conflict in that relationship is because there's an area that needs healing in your heart, and I can heal. Let me touch you. Receive my healing word. And get that word. Where is that area? Maybe you're just discouraged. Are you weak spiritually today? And you just need, where do you need to be strengthened in your own walk with the Lord? And then ask God to guide you. I can give you a verse if you like. But again, you've got to get it in you, and you've got to get it in you, and you've got to get it in you. The word is able. The word is able, but we have to receive it continually, constantly, all the time in order to bear that fruit, to let it do its work. So I just would encourage you with this morning, that whatever area that is, remember what Joyce Meyer said? We can invest in our misery, or we can invest in our healing. I'm asking, will you invest some time with Jesus this week? Will you make some time for him and just pour out your heart? Just be real. He knows anyway. It's not like you're going to get by something on him and cover it up. Just say, Lord, I've been nasty. I've been rude. I've been inconsiderate, proud, selfish, immoral, whatever it may be. Just lay it before the Lord. You're not going to scare him, but then say, Lord, I want your healing touch. I need your strength in this area of my life because I can't do it without you. And receive that word. Minister to the Lord. Receive that truth and get that scripture in you and let it just minister healing and strength to your spirit and to your heart. And then I want to ask you to do it for this. Not, I believe we're going to grow and we'll feel better, but I want to ask you, will you do it? Because it will help you grow in Christ-likeness and do it as a testimony for the Lord. That's ultimately what all of this is about, is for his glory. To say, Lord, you've been so good to me. You love me. You gave your life for me. You were broken so that I could be made whole. You were rejected so that I would be accepted. You were forsaken so that I would be remembered. You died so that I might live. Now, Lord, help me to live for you. And do it out of gratitude to him. Can we stand together and just, if we stay in an attitude of prayer, please, I'd like to just pray here. We'll sing a song of worship.